overdrive. We are putting the nitrous oxide into the NASCARs. Fire shooting out of them tailpipes. We're going from 1,500 horsepower to 2,500. Boom! Gonna break the sound barrier. And if you think having the biggest show ever in English-speaking media, which I had for at least 3 years, was big, nothing is going to stop everything that's coming. It's like atomic testing, waking up Godzilla. That's what they've done. That which does not kill me only makes me stronger. So, I'm Godzilla, and your ass is Tokyo. Politically, lovingly, non-violently.
Hi, folks. I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites.
Oh.
Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch, the communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1,000,000 now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free, Old for Methylene Blue. Buy one, get one free, Bovine Colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit Complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited issue, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live, coming to you this 6th of July, 2026. Very happy to be here with you. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We, of course, have a giant weekend's worth of news to discuss, but I wanted to start today's show with two very powerful speeches that came out over the weekend. The first is from Spencer Pratt, of course, the mayoral candidate in Los Angeles. He came out with a very powerful argument against socialism, communism, this entire new wave of subversive elements in our country attempting to destroy us from the inside out. He did exactly what I've been begging the right to do, actually enunciate your opposition to socialism. You can't just look at a bunch of downtrodden people looking for an answer and say, shut up, deal with it, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's not how you win this argument. That's not even making an argument. That's just ignoring the very valid concerns of the people you're supposed to represent. Spencer Pratt, on the other hand, does the appropriate thing, does the right thing, does the necessary thing at this time, which is not just to vapidly and sort of in a surface level way, dismiss communism as something that we've tried that and it doesn't work. It's like, well, there's literally tens of millions of people in America that are dumb or ignorant or selfish enough to try again. So you can't just wave it off. You have to actually contend with this stuff. You have to actually argue against it. Spencer Pratt did exactly that in an incredibly powerful way. Clip number two here is Spencer Pratt, mayoral candidate in Los Angeles, I guess former mayoral candidate. He should probably be made emperor or something after this speech. He gets it. He seems to actually get it. And it goes to the heart of everything that we talk about here, the inhumanity of the left. Truly, like not in a buzzword sort of way, like they are inhuman in their viewpoint of the world. Here's Spencer Pratt.
We all had to sit and watch that vile commie mayor sit on the wrong side of our founding father's desk to try and lecture us about our own history. Notice how the communist always attacks your history. The communist must attack your history. Why? Because history is what anchors you. It's what makes us attached to something. Nostalgia is a hell of a drug. History breeds an almost irrational attachment to things, an attachment that is more powerful than anyone can imagine. Erasing history is how you demoralize people, how you unmoor them and detach them from their society so you can take it from them and rewrite it in your image. Think of your country like a home. What makes your home special? It's not the marble countertops or the expensive furniture or the fancy appliances. It's the memories you have there. That backyard is where we got married. That living room rug is where our son took his first step. Hey, don't touch that. That was his first teddy bear. It doesn't matter how torn and tattered that thing is. You will never get rid of it. And you will fight anyone who tries to take it away. Why? Because you have history with it. You ever buy a new home? Remember those first few months? Even the first few years there. It doesn't feel like home. It could be a million times nicer than the crappy apartment you came from, but it doesn't feel like home for a long time because you don't have history there. It's easy to knock down some walls, change the floor plan. If you have no memories to attach you to it, it's just wood and drywall. Who cares? Get rid of it. Memories make it a home, even the bad ones. Hey, remember when Dad hit his head on the rafter in the attic and we spent all night in the ER? That's the avocado tree I fell out of and broke my first bone. Isn't it weird how even the bad memories make us cherish a place? It's not like we long for those bad times, but bad times are part of what makes us stronger, a part of what makes us who we we are. How can you resent those memories without fundamentally resenting who you are? History is so important to humans that even bad memories anchor us to our home. And that's what the communist always starts with, the bad memories. Oh, we can get rid of that little story. We can knock down that statue. We can change the name of that street. That's a bad memory from our history. You don't want that memory hanging around. You're not a bigot, right? And slowly but surely, this wall comes down. Then that wall gets sledgehammered. The rafter where dad hit his head, that's gone. The rug where your son took his first step, that's gone. The gash in the wood floor where you stomped the glass on your wedding ceremony, that's gone and replaced with shiny vinyl planks. And now you've got a brand new home with no memories. Now what? Do you care what they do with it? Do you care what color they paint the walls? Nah. Do whatever you want. I don't care. I have no attachment to it. I have no memories with that. You love your home because of the memories you have there. And that's why the communists always must destroy your memories, destroy your history. If the communist wishes to take your home, he must first destroy your memory of it so he can erase your attachment to it and demoralize you. Mao destroyed what he called the four olds, old ideas, old culture, old customs, and old habits. If you call them olds, it makes them sound bad. You don't want that old thing. Get rid of it. But it is fundamentally human nature to cherish your history. We crave learning about our history, where we came from, who our ancestors were. That's human. But communism is an evil, anti-human religion, so it must destroy what makes us human. The communist destroys your history so he can take your home and rebuild it in his image. That's why it's your patriotic duty to celebrate today unashamed. It's okay to love America. Not only is it okay to love America, it's necessary to love America. We are the only bulwark against tyranny on this earth. When Europe descends into madness time and time again, it's our sons who cross the oceans to fight and die for freedom and human dignity. We don't let evil people destroy our history and rewrite it in their image. This is Independence Day. It's not just a number on the calendar. Don't say Happy Fourth. That's commie gobbledygook.
No offense, but it's not.
We say Independence Day. Today we celebrate the men who reclaimed a beautiful slice of this earth and claimed it for God, for the values of freedom and rugged independence. Our history is messy. It's why we love it. We aren't cowards. We don't turn our backs on the painful memories because they make us who we are. Be proud of our country, damn it. America is the birthplace of every great invention of the last 250 years, like literally everything, airplanes, spaceships, internet, telephones. As a country, we are batting a thousand. Not only is it a miracle that this radical experiment in self-governance even survived past 1776, but we are the champions of the world. Be proud of that. Be proud of your history. Millions of your ancestors fought and died to preserve it. Commie Mamdani's ancestors never bled for this country. He has no history here, so he has no attachment to our home. He has no place to rewrite our history and lecture us about what our country stands for. So celebrate today. Show some American pride. Honor your history. This is our home, and you can't have it. Today we celebrate our Independence Day. God bless America.
All right, so that was an incredibly powerful diatribe about the greatness of America by Spencer Pratt, former mayoral candidate in LA. Can't agree with him more. And of course, he's sort of relating the country to a house and the fact that the house is only valuable because of the memories that you create in it, because of the history that you have with it. I, of course, always relate it to just your family. And I would, you know, when he talks about people wanting us to be ashamed of our past, ashamed of our history, you know, obviously, and as I'm thinking about this, I'm also looking at stories from over the weekend of things like Caroline Leavitt basically blaming Gen Z for being lazy, and the discussion about just like the boomers kind of failing to pass on their knowledge or power or wealth to the next generation. And you realize this goes back a long way, and that really this whole cycle got kicked off more or less in the early 60s. And has continued to this day. So the people that are currently in power also have this hatred of tradition, this sort of despising of what came before. And so they don't want to pass it on to their children they're like happy that it ends with them. So it's the demonization of America, white people, Europeans, that's been inculcated into our social environment for the last 50 years or so, that luckily people are able to resist and break out of and recognize, just like they say in 1984, if you want to destroy people, you have to destroy their history first. But I'd go even farther. I mean, I genuinely don't understand the impulse. I mean, you look at the Mongolians, they erect giant statues of Genghis Khan. They're proud of it. They're not ashamed. The man provided nothing of value to the world. You know, it's like we're over here supposed to be ashamed of like George Washington because he inherited slaves in a system that depended on slavery as a primary economic motor. It's like there's nothing he could do about it. Why would we feel bad about that when the list of the great accomplishments, including, you know, freeing all of his slaves after his death, as was the legal, you know, avenue to do that. But we're supposed to discredit all of that, like discount all of that on one mark against his character that isn't really even a mark against his character. It's just a fact of living in that time period. But still, they'll tear down his statue. The Mongolians, like Genghis Khan, he didn't help anybody do anything. He literally just loved killing people. Like, that was his thing, and he just went around doing that. And that was it. Like, he didn't even try to justify it. Like, well, we're folding you into the empire. It may be a painful transition, but at the end of this, you know, you'll be plugged into the worldwide empire. Like, that's how often, you know, conquering people, whether it was the English or the, you know, Alexander the Great, it was like, well, we have this great empire, and we're going to now bring you into it, whether you like it or not. Genghis Khan didn't have a great empire. He just loved destroying things. Like, they just saw cities and they thought, man, this place would make a great field for our horses to graze. Let's raise it to the ground. And that's what they would do. The Mongolians are not ashamed of that in the slightest. Should they be? No, I don't think so. It was a crazy time back then. They had a powerful leader that wrecked the world on the basis of his own strength and ambition. Sure, be proud of that. Why not? You kicked ass. Like, I think back to my grandfather, who was a football player in college back in the leather helmet, no face mask days, leather, you know, helmets and metal cleats. And he was a mean bastard. He would break people's arms. He would step on their hands in the scrum. I mean, it was he played for keeps. And he won. He was very good at it. And I think back to that. If there was some kid came up to me and was like, your grandfather stepped on my grandfather's hand and broke it, I'd be like, sounds like your grandfather's a bitch. I don't know what to tell you. Sounds like he was too slow and lost. I'm sorry, you suck. Like, that's as far as my apology is going to go. Like, where's that attitude for the nation? Is it a good thing? Like, would I encourage my son to break people's arms while playing football? Probably not. Probably not. But at the same time, well, I'm supposed to feel bad. I'm supposed to feel ashamed. Like, no, I'm literally proud of that. I'm literally proud that my grandfather was such a beast and was such a mean dude to his enemies and can crush them and put fear into their hearts. That's awesome. I'm actually very proud of that. Why wouldn't I be? Where's that attitude for the rest of our nation, our family, our little family here that we try to operate together? That was one of the most powerful speeches from over the weekend, but there was another one, this time from the Patriot Front leader, Thomas Rousseau. Patriot Front, of course, kind of ironically, like, they dominated coverage on July 4th. If you looked at social media, I basically saw two types of posts on July 4th. I saw people celebrating America, you know, pictures of American flags and hype reel edits and that sort of stuff, and the controversy about Patriot Front and people still convinced that they're the feds of the SPLC, which I don't really understand. For one thing, we're the feds now. Like, we're in charge of the federal government now. There's something distinctly strange about, like it must be weird. I'm sure people like Kash Patel are sitting there like, oh, I wish I could call the Patriot Front guys feds, but that wouldn't make any sense. Really, you're the head fed. You're the chief fed. So if Patriot Front are feds, then they're under your control. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And then you have the SPLC getting sued for all their support of extremist right-wing organizations, Patriot Front was not amongst them. It's not among them. It was not one of their number. The KKK were, like, you can tell who's being funded by the left because who are the ones that make everybody look bad and actually commit violence and actually have no strategic value whatsoever. Patriot Front, on the other hand, they go around, they march, they do these sort of shows of force. They don't carry weapons, they carry shields because they often get attacked. If there's an Antifa, you know, counter protest, they will attack Patriot Front, and Patriot Front retreats in an orderly fashion and doesn't engage. They're very smart. And my thing is, I would be happy. I would be more than willing to call Patriot Front feds if I saw a single shred of evidence to that effect. I'm not a Patriot Front member. I don't really know any Patriot Front members that I'm aware of. I would like to talk to him. We're going to reach out and try to get on Thomas Rousseau. He's done some good interviews in the past. I agree with everything he says, more or less. I don't totally understand their tactic. Like, I like that they're doing it, and maybe it's just for the sake of recruitment. You see a bunch of dudes doing something. If you're a, you know, random white guy out there working your day job and just suffering under the endless annoyances of the modern world, and you're thinking, I'd like to go out and train and hang out, have a good time with a bunch of dudes that think like me. Maybe it's just a recruitment thing. I don't really understand the strategy other than just going out and protesting. Like, that's fine. I'm more looking for like a wholesale political title shift so we can actually take power in a real way. I don't know how Patriot Front would facilitate that. That being said, my point is I've seen no evidence that they're federal operatives, that they're a honeypot, that they're SPLC funded, because they don't do anything violent. They don't make fools of themselves. They seem to operate in a very controlled and systematic fashion. Of course, people go, why are they hiding their faces? Because we're run by traitors who will throw these people in prison if they can get their identity, or send their goons out to attack these people at their homes or attack their families. In fact, before we even get to the speech by Thomas Rousseau, let's go to clip number one here, because this is a man who goes by Tommy TV. And he, I guess I'm still trying to get the whole story here. But they say Tommy is being targeted for nothing more than peacefully exercising his First Amendment right, showing up, speaking out, counter-protesting, and all because of differing political ideologies. What should be a basic freedom has turned into something deeply personal and damaging. So this is from Tommy's Gibson Go fundraiser to help him repair his car and fix his window because he was attacked by Antifa. They say he was going out and protesting, counter-protesting against Antifa. I believe this is in Portland, Oregon, if I'm not mistaken, or Seattle, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. Again, it's kind of hard to find information about this because the media doesn't actually cover it. So you just got to go to like their Give, Send, Go to try to find the whole story. He even took extra what should be a basic freedom has turned into something deeply personal and damaging. He even took extra precautions by parking 5 blocks away, but that didn't matter. Someone went out of their way to find his car and destroy it, spray painting it with hateful slurs, slashing all four tires, the same tires he just replaced after being targeted another night just a few weeks ago, and going even further by filling his exhaust and radiator with spray foam to make sure the damage would leave him completely stranded. This wasn't random. This was intentional, targeted, and meant to intimidate him into silence. Now, because he chose to use his voice, Tommy is left without transportation, facing both emotional and financial strain that no one should have to endure for their beliefs. Disagreeing with somebody should never turn into destruction of someone's property or attempt to derail their life. This is where we've come together. So you've got this guy who goes by Tommy TV, goes to counter-protest Antifa in the Pacific Northwest. They slash his tires, spray paint his car, try to ruin his engine with spray foam. And these are low-level insurrectionist terrorist tactics. Like, this is the forewarning before the real earthquake. These people are not satisfied with scratching your car up and denting it. And in fact, I suppose later that day, at 3 in the morning, Antifa members found out where he lived, threw a brick through his window, and sprayed his sleeping family with bear mace, and we have video of the aftermath here. Let's go to that.
No, and bear maced our bedroom. They threw a brick through our bedroom window and soaked us with mace. This is Antifa. This is what Antifa does. This is what Antifa does when you don't agree with them to your house.
Oh my God.
So again, you can see there, broken window, bear mat. I mean, imagine waking up at 3 in the morning to shattering glass as a brick flies through your bedroom window, and then you're immediately hit with bear mace. Not exactly the best way to be awoken in the morning. The question is, what is the Trump administration doing about this? I mean, they declared Antifa domestic terrorists 9 months ago at this point. Antifa's only ramping up their attacks. They targeted this man at his home, really doing something that could very easily massively injure or, you know, possibly kill somebody. I mean, bear mace is extremely powerful. If you're in bed in the middle of the night and you suddenly get bear mace, I don't know, if you have asthma or something, I mean, that could kill you. This is a deadly attack. And yet, this is just the opening salvo. I mean, the question is, what does this guy do now? Do you keep going? Do you keep persisting and trying to exercise your First Amendment, knowing that the police are not on your side, even if these Antifa are caught, which they're not going to put any effort into catching them whatsoever, even if they somehow get them in front of some sort of authority, the authorities there are literally Antifa. Maybe they get a slap on the wrist, maybe. If it even gets to that point, likely this will be the last we hear about whoever did this. They're just going to get away with it. So what does this guy do? Does he stop? Does he give in to the terrorism? Or does he continue to put his family at risk, knowing that Antifa is only going to ramp up their attacks? If the lower level intimidation doesn't work, they'll move to the next level in full confidence that they'll get away with all of it because the authorities are on their side. The federal government could come in and massively crack down on these groups, launch full-fledged investigations. I mean, if this was a Jewish activist and a Hamas member broke their window in the middle of the night and sprayed him with bear mace, do you think the post-millennial would be the only place writing about this? Do you think X would be the only place that you could find this story? I cannot find this story anywhere. I don't even know if it's on post-millennial. I saw Andy Ngo comment on it on X, but I haven't seen an article about it. I mean, this was a terror attack at somebody's home on the basis of their political activity. This is literal terrorism. The only possible results are that he gives up and this is an effective terrorist attack that actually, you know, neuters one of your political opponents, or he keeps going and they keep ramping up, knowing that the authorities will never do anything to stop them until the fear of God is sunk into the heart of these Antifa members. They're going to keep ramping up and they're going to make it more and more dangerous for the average person to even hold alternative political views, let alone express them publicly. This is a crisis moment, and the Trump administration will do absolutely nothing to actually fight back.
There has been a major full court press agenda to undermine this country, to make Americans think that it's the American Republic and our Constitution that was the apple of the world's eye. Everybody wanted to come here to be part of this, that somehow it's why America's hated around the world. It's why we've lost our liberties and our freedoms. It's why you can work 80 hours a week and still can't pay your bills. No, it's the globalists. It's the private Federal Reserve. It's the whole UNWF kleptocrats that have been financing all of the radical anti-white, anti-America, anti-Christian, anti-capitalist garbage. And it's America that stands in the way of that. That's why with Cloward and Piven, they've been undermining it to destroy it. And so that's why with the 250th anniversary approaching in just a few days, it is so important to remember that they're trying to break your will. They're trying to demoralize you. Well, we're talking about the next leap in the information war with the truth against the liars. I'm here at alexjoneslive.com headquarters. We've got our backup studio, new studios getting built. It's incredible. We're planning to go 20 hours a day live with even a late night show that's going to be incredible. But we need your support to do it, and you've been coming through with the support. That's why I want to give back to you on this 250th anniversary of our Constitutional Republic and celebrate it and know that its best days are to come if we take action, if we breathe life into it. And let Big Brother globalists know that they are in trouble. They've lost the faith of the public. Their own internal documents have leaked. They know they're in crisis. They know the Great Awakening's here. They thought their Great Reset and their COVID release would get us back in line, back in heel with their boot on our neck, but it didn't work. So, running this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through the 4th of July, we are offering the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Best-selling items. Buy one, get one free. Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best. Bovine Colostrum, the very best. Shilajit, incredible. Booster Testosterone, all these natural peptides. These are private labels, the best brands in the country, discounted. And up to 60% off the other supplements and 50% off on apparel. Many of these are loss leaders, but I know those of you on the fence that haven't tried some of these products, once you try Ultra Methylene Blue or Bovine Colostrum or our Methylene Red that's proprietary, you're going to be hooked. There's over a 90% order rate. And you know you're financing liberty and freedom, so you cannot lose. Also, 60% off Ultimate Chill, with all these known herbs for natural, clean, calm, but you also stay focused at the same time. Ultimate Energy, Supercharge Energy, Methylene Red Capsules that goes with Methylene Blue, like a horse and carriage, MK Ultra, Brain Booster, Ultimate Power Freedom Mango is even better than Turbo Force. Similar formula, even stronger, full of super nutrients in Mango, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. You want a cooking beef tallow? We've got the highest quality right now for you as well. Superfood Green Powder, Tallow Bomb, Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shot, Entrogenic Mushroom Super Coffee. I forgot about that. It is simply amazing. It's all up to 60% off. Our zeolites, 40% off. CMOS gummies, Irish CMOS, 40% off. It goes on and on. So up to 60% off on the supplements. Buy one, get one free on all three of our top selling supplements. 50% off on Patriot Apparel and more Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. July 3rd, July 4th, July 5th, flash sale, celebrating the birth and the continuation of this country past 250 years at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 250 years of America and 250 more. We are 1776. We're unstoppable together.
Despair is my only, my only Egypt to the
this Patriot Front a while ago protesting outside Purdue Pharmacy, chanting life, liberty, victory. Yeah, I like it. I don't know about you. I agree. I agree with everything that he said there. Was it a little scary? Did the torches scare you? Well, maybe they should be scared. It's the pharmaceutical companies, after all. They have been complicit, if not actively participated in, possibly the greatest series of mass murders the world has ever seen through COVID and the vaccines. This is sort of the point, right? Like, after the show on Friday, producer Matt came in and was like, well, that was a pretty racially charged show. And I was like, oh, was it? I didn't notice. I hadn't noticed, actually. I wasn't really talking about race necessarily. I was talking about incompatible people with our culture, people who seem to be physically, mentally incapable of actually understanding second order effects and adhering to, you know, civil rights, basically. But, you know, occasionally I get a little pang of guilt. I'm like, ooh, did I go too far? Did I go too hard? Was I a little bit mean? And then I remember, no, wait, it's my country that's being literally destroyed right now. No, it's my people that are being actively genocided right now. That's the bad thing. That's the bad thing that's happening. Anything other than that is not as bad as that, right? If people say things that make your feelings hurt, your feelings getting hurt, not as bad as wiping out an entire race of people because they just sailed around the world 200 years ago. That's the bad thing. That's the injury. That's the offense. Everything else is defensive to that. So if you don't like, you know, hearing white people defend themselves, then maybe everybody should stop attacking white people. If that makes you feel so badly, I really don't know what to tell you. Like in this, okay, look, these scary guys are wearing masks and holding torches and protesting Purdue Pharmacy. It's like, wow, that sounds kind of scary. You know what's a lot scarier is a giant nationwide push to demand through law that you take a experimental jab that gives you myocarditis, which has a 50% chance of death in 5 years, that's actually like a crime against humanity. And everything up to a crime against humanity is permitted in trying to stop the crime against humanity. So I don't care who's offended anymore. I think we need to all stop caring about offense anymore. And this picture, of course, has become the icon of Patriot Front over the weekend. I guess she's the new Rosa Parks. Only they didn't make her move. Only they gave her a seat while they stood. That's very polite. Very polite of the white men to give her a seat. She looks terrified, doesn't she? They gave her the whole row. She can lay down if she wants. This is the typical sort of response you got from this from somebody named Renee on X. This photo deserves a Pulitzer Prize. Not only does it represent our current state of politics, but it mirrors many photos of the past, which confirm the ugly truth about progress. It must be fought for by every generation. Ah, yes. The new civil rights hero just dropped. She's fighting for equality with all she's got. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Before Patriot Front got on the subway, and maybe she just doesn't have any clothes, but she's wearing the exact same clothes in a video of her on the subway, taking her pants down and doing something. I don't know exactly what, but nothing a civilized human being would ever engage in. And we have a little compare and contrast here. Clip number four. This is before and after Patriot Front show up on the subway with this civil rights icon. Let's watch. This is clip number four. Before Patriot Front, what is she doing? We don't know. She's screaming. She's pulling her pants down. After Patriot Front, she's a model citizen. Well, look at that. Look at that. Her little outburst suddenly came to an end. Isn't that interesting? Now, and this has been confirmed. They've got her her mugshot and everything. It is the same woman. This is very good news because it's just a lot of subway vagrants don't need to be institutionalized for life at state expense. They've actually known how to behave this whole time. So Boulding Bernita was arrested in Arlington County, Virginia. There's the mugshot. The charges are indecent exposure. And yeah, it's the same woman. And it's likely from that instance we saw a second ago of her wailing and screeching and pulling her pants down on the subway for some unknown reason. Now, almost certainly, she would try to claim some insanity defense if she's charged with something like this. Just like how, like, the question is, if all of those Patriot Front guys were on the train with Irina Zarutska, would she have been stabbed? Theoretically, yes, because the man is insane, right? Isn't that what they're going with? They're saying that Irina Zarutska was stabbed to death by a man who was having a psychotic episode. He couldn't think straight. He didn't know what was going on. He couldn't tell right from wrong. Only he waited for the pretty white girl to get on and then deliberately slit her neck and then bragged about it the moment after. So the question is he insane? The answer is obviously not. He's evil. I mean, I guess it depends on what you consider insane. As I pointed out before, we're at the point where the crimes being committed are so vicious and inhuman that the crimes themselves can almost serve as evidence that they're insane. Because it's like the man went on a train and slit the throat of a girl that he'd never met before. He must be insane. That must be evidence of his insanity, because who would do that? Then you've got a woman like this. She seemed insane. She seemed insane when she was screeching and writhing around and pulling her pants down on the train. It seemed like an uncontrollable mental illness that we're dealing with. But all of a sudden, a bunch of buff white dudes with face masks and weapons get on board, and she's a model citizen. She's the image of propriety. She suddenly gets over her mental illness, her insanity attack, and finds it extremely easy to sit quietly for the entirety of the trip. Isn't that interesting? This was probably the safest subway in the history of America. If the average subway had 40 to 50 masked buff white guys with weapons on it, there would be no crime. Crime wouldn't exist. These guys aren't committing crime. What interest do they have in committing crime? They have lives. They have girlfriends to get back to, right? They have achievements that they're going for. What the viral image of a black woman surrounded by white nationalists on the DC Metro says about America today. What does it say? I'll tell you what it says to me. It says a bunch of masked white supremacists are apparently the solution to crime. That's the answer. That's the conclusion I'm coming to. Masked members of a white supremacist group called the Patriot Front marched through Washington, D.C. on Saturday. A viral image of a black woman surrounded by the group emerged over the weekend. Dana Bash, in her Inside Politics panel talk about how politicians have responded. Scary, quite frankly, Tia Mitchell says. They've returned to their jobs. They could be serving you your meal today. And it's just terrifying. I mean, they existed where a black woman was. What? How is this allowed? How could this possibly be allowed? Now, of course, whenever the, you know, Black Panthers want to do a big show of force, they usually bring guns. Usually it all ends in, you know, disaster when like a gun goes off accidentally or on purpose or whatever. It's actually like very dangerous, intense situation whenever those guys get together. These guys are unarmed. But, you know, you'll see whenever that happens, libertarians, right-wingers, conservatives across the board going, you know, this is what America's about. I might not like the Black Panthers, but they have rights just like you and I, and this is what makes America beautiful, actually. And it's just like 200 black guys with guns just being like, we're here to kill you. And they're like, wow, beautiful. Just like Thomas Jefferson intended. And then a bunch of white guys take the subway to hold a protest march, and it's, we have to stop them. These are all feds, you know. The SPLC added again. Why do you think that? But why do you think that, though? But what evidence has ever led you to think that the Patriot guys are anything other than what they say and appear to be, which is patriotic Americans with extreme discipline holding a protest? I mean, what's the big deal? The big deal is it makes black people scared. I guess some black people. Criminals, I guess. I guess insane homeless criminals are mad. They can't defecate on the subway when a bunch of white dudes are there. Defining image of America, picture of black woman surrounded by white supremacists goes viral. An instant Pulitzer Prize winning photograph, actor Wendell Pierce said on X. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it represents what a boogeyman, what a fake boogeyman white supremacy is. That this literally insane homeless black woman isn't even mistreated by them. Not even, no unkind word. Not exactly the thing you wanted it. Literally nobody got stabbed or shot. Literally nothing happened. Another picture, black man rides the D.C. Metro as white nationalists prepared to watch on march on Washington, D.C. This is America's 250th Getty Images. And it's like, okay, and what? So a bunch of white guys rode the subway and you're mad. Okay. Chilling photo shows black woman on D.C. train surrounded by white supremacist thugs. Okay, yeah, and she couldn't poop on the floor. Sorry, a bunch of white dudes were there to enforce the law, so you couldn't freak out and poop on the floor and stab, innocent people. Sorry, you got to behave yourself for a little while until you no longer feel the danger. And this is kind of the thing. It's like when you've got a bunch of homeless people freaking out and causing problems on the subway system, what do you do? What do you do? On one hand, you could try to build, like, I don't know, glass barriers to make sure people pay their fare. Only then the homeless people throw their bodies through it rather than pay the $2.75 fare to allow them access to the train. Do you put security cameras? Do you put, you know, massive surveillance absolutely everywhere? You could. That might be helpful in, you know, cleaning up the blood afterwards, because you remember Irina Zarutska was murdered on a train that had video surveillance. That's why we have the video. You would think that video surveillance proving incontrovertibly that the man in a deliberate and targeted fashion slit the neck of a girl on purpose because she was white. You would think that at the very least would go towards punishing him for the crime, but that didn't happen, did it? He was declared insane for some reason, because I guess he's just that low IQ. And again, this is just a big problem that we have with our entire system. But obviously, the security cameras didn't prevent the crime, and they didn't even go towards helping to solve the crime at all. And of course, that guy, like any of these people, have a rap sheet 20 miles long. So it doesn't seem like surveillance or, you know, more technological barriers to access, like none of that actually works. It is the fear of immediate intervention from good people. That's the only thing that stops bad people. The only thing that stops bad people is, and really it's not even like the fear of punishment later, because a lot of times, I mean, you know, this is the classic thing where it's like, what do you think is going to happen if you run from the cops? You think there's going to be like, dang, that guy's fast. He gets to leave now. We're done here. He ran away. And that's that. Like, no, they're going to chase you. You're going to be charged even more. Like, the thought process of, like, if I do this now, in the future, I'll be punished. That doesn't always get through to the insane, rabid, low IQ criminals that we constantly have to deal with on an everyday basis. But the fear of immediate intervention from a big, tall white dude in a mask with a bat right in front of you, it turns out the insanity disappears. Turns out somehow through the fog of schizophrenia that is dictating their entire lives, that somehow the vision of a Viking standing there looking at you, it all dissolves and disintegrates. And the person that was ranting and raving and tearing her clothes off and fighting people is suddenly sitting very nicely and quietly and politely all the way to the train stop. Then she gets off at her designed stop and says, good day, gentlemen, and continues on her way. It turns out you can solve these problems. So I've got no problem with Patriot Front. I think what they do is probably a very valuable service for a lot of otherwise hopeless feeling young white dudes who see their country being stolen from them and want to belong to something that in some tangible, real way is fighting back against it. And their ranks are growing. In fact, I know we played one of these videos. We could play another one of just the sheer scale of the march. It was something like 400 people, and it's just absolutely massive. The march that occurred in Washington, D.C. Over this week. I'll find the clip here because I want to go to this clip of clip 52. We want to roll 52 as B-roll. This is just an idea of how absolutely massive this march was on July 4th. Let's go ahead and roll that. So you can see just the huge number of people. None of them caused problems. And like, dude, when you have that many people, I mean, that is a, roll it again. Loop this for a second. Do you see how many people this is? Do you see how many like 6 foot tall buff dudes fit ready for action this is? I mean, if they wanted, do you, like, how do you think the U.S. government would stop them from like taking over the Capitol if they wanted? Especially if they brought weapons, which obviously they didn't. But like, this is a very powerful force. And the fact that they behave in such a controlled, disciplined, nonviolent way. I like these guys. I don't know what else to say. I like these guys. Let's go to clip number six here. Powerful speech by Thomas Rousseau given, I believe this is from this July 4th march. Let's watch.
While many are content to celebrate independence on this day, we know what these vapid displays conceal. Our people are not independent. Our destiny is shackled to 100 competing nations imported to this soil, bringing with them countless incompatible interests. Our homeland has been turned into a squalid arena of profiteers and invaders, overseen by a spineless caste of traitorous politicians. We wish for sovereignty and liberty which cannot coexist with the conditions that have been forced upon us. A quarter millennia has now passed since America's violent birth, and nothing I can say will glorify independence more than the blood of our forebears that stains this continent, consecrating it forever with the immortal legacy of the men who died for so noble an objective as sovereignty. So we stand on the turning of an age and the making or breaking of our nation's destiny, and we must ask ourselves under the watchful gaze of history what is to be done. So dire is our circumstance, so extreme is our condition of peril, that the only way to secure our existence is to become all that we aspire to be. A defeated people was cast into this pit of a century, yet a nation exalted above all the rest will climb out of it. This is our task. Our national independence was seized by a natural aristocracy of our people, by the best of our Anglo-Saxon blood, waging war against tyranny to restore their ancient rights, not solely for themselves, but to bequeath it to their people and their posterity beyond that. Now, regime after regime, tainted with corruption, has wrestled this sovereignty away piece by piece and placed it in the hands of the few and the foreign. Our liberty as Americans is squandered upon the unassimilable masses. They know not how to use it, and we are done trying to teach them. While the state has spent priceless years and countless fortunes attempting to educate and civilize our ethnic replacements, true Americans have been not merely left behind, but subjected to endless abuse, unbefitting the heirs of this continent. The men of our nation, their hearts and minds and virtues are the safest place within which to secure the ultimate power of government, yet neither do our people hold this power, nor are they yet capable of wielding it justly. If we want our country back, we cannot merely speak of policy. We cannot just propose change. We must first impose it upon ourselves. You may read our policy on the calluses of our hands, the scars on our backs, and the sweat of our brow. The future belongs to the men with iron in their blood and patriotism in their heart. We may not look to America's military might, its material wealth, for its depth of natural resources, for our shield against subjugation. All this and more has been turned against us, fueling the flames of corruption and disunity. No, it is in our people that we must look. That fealty for liberty that rests only within the blood and spirit of the race which created America and sustains it still in this and none other lies our salvation. I could list the enemies of our people. From the Jewish cabals to the Mexican cartels, from the African criminals to the homosexual peddlers of vice and exploitation. But I would not desanctify this day further with their description. Their conduct is set, their fates are written. This day is for Americans. It is on our shoulders that the fate of the nation rests. It is our deeds which will bring justice and prosperity. It is our identity which must be reclaimed. We are American, not by edict or ideal, but by blood. Our nation is our creed. Tyranny is so entrenched, corruption is so widespread that we harbor no thought that we will save this nation without America's enemies offering us chance after chance to prove our conviction with deed and action. Wisely, we do not wish for ease in our conquests, and bravely, we do not ask for it. A lesser task would have fallen to lesser men. We wish for nothing less and nothing short than a revolution, a time of vast change and an outlook of undaunted courage towards the future. The vice that has infested our land will be expunged. The foreigners which have invaded our land will be expelled, and the Americans who have so long suffered the fate of a defeated people will be saved. We endeavor ceaselessly to reforge the lives of men, to steel them to their purpose, and awaken within them the strength to do what this era demands of them. On this day, once more, louder than ever, we declare our resistance as a promise to our people and a challenge to our foes. We renew our pledge upon the altar of this sacred day of eternal hostility against all that which threatens the existence of our people.
So that's Thomas Rousseau, the leader of Patriot Front. For anyone confused about what Patriot Front is and their stance on issues we face today, here's Thomas's speech from yesterday. I got chills. Hail Columbia. That's video. Can't say it's hard to disagree. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists at Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at alexjoneslive.com. And, of course, at thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.